All right. Thank you, Pastor Stovall. Welcome, everybody. So glad you're in service today. Isn't it great to see Pastor Stovall in service, looking strong and healthy, and I thank God for him and his friendship. And you know, you have some amazing pastors. Pastor Stovall and Carrie are amazing people, been friends of ours for years and years and years, and you ought to feel led well. Do you feel led well?
Yes.
Or well led? I don't know how you say it. Do you feel well led?
Yes.
You are led well and well led. How about that? And I thank God for them and for their leadership, for their friendship. And thank God for this great church, Celebration Church, a model church known around the world. Why don't you grab your Bibles with me, everybody? Turn over to the book of Luke. The book of Luke. I want to talk to you just for a few minutes this morning about the power of one. The power of one. How many of you know one thing can be significant? You think about just one thought can revolutionize the way you think. How many of you know that one decision can change your life? Everybody know that? In one moment, even think about one moment in your life can impact your future. There really is a power in one. The power of one. In fact, the Bible uses the word one 2,295 times. And threaded throughout the Word of God is this theme and this thought that there is power in one. Come on, think about a few examples with me. One young lady named Esther decided to step out of her comfort zone, actually risked her own life and saved her people. One young woman. One disciple betrayed Jesus, led to those fateful events, that domino effect that brought Jesus to the cross. The Bible says in the book of Romans, chapter 5, that through the trespass of one man, sin entered into this world. And through the righteous obedience of one man, redemption and forgiveness and freedom entered into this world. I like this one. Think about this. The Bible says the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost when the people were all together in one accord. And my favorite one of all time is, one day he is coming back again for his bride. The power of one. There is a power of one. And I want to talk just for a few minutes specifically about the power of one year. The power of one year. Right here at the beginning of 2010. How many of you believe in for an awesome year in 2010? Come on, you haven't given up on 2010 yet, have you? It's just the beginning. So I want to talk about the power of one year. And if you check out the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, one story that Jesus told, this parable that Jesus told, in Luke chapter, did I tell you the chapter yet? Chapter 13. Chapter 13. I hope you're taking notes. Someone told me one time, note takers are history makers. I think that's true. Luke chapter 13, verse 6. Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he went to look for fruit on it, but he did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, for 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil? Sir, the man replied, leave it alone for one more year. Leave it alone for one more year and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down. Now, I want you to notice the man that took care of this tree had an affinity for this tree. For whatever reason, maybe he was the one who planted it. Obviously, he had been the one who was taking care of it. But he had a heart for this tree. And he had three things that I want us to notice when we think about the power of one year. I want us to notice the example of this one man. Number one, he had vision. Everybody say vision. Vision enables me to say, I can see it. Vision enables me to say, I can see it. And this guy, for whatever reason, had a vision for this tree. Had a vision that one day this tree could bear fruit. I think vision, honestly, is one of the greatest spiritual catalysts. It's one of the greatest catalysts to get spiritual momentum in your life. What does it say in Proverbs 29:18? Where there is no vision, the people... One translation says it this way. Where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint, or the people are unrestrained. So listen, vision has this restraining capacity to it. When you have a vision, it's amazing how you can say no to the things you need to say no to, and you can say yes to the things that you need to say yes to. This man had vision. Vision enables me to say I can see it. And when I talk about vision, honestly, all I mean is to be able to get a picture in your mind and in your heart of what God wants to do in your life. Vision, real simple, just to get a picture in your mind and in your heart, a picture of a preferable future, a picture in your mind and in your heart of what God wants to do in your life. Come on, vision enables me to say, I can see it. And I think, listen, I think honestly, when it comes to vision, I think there are three things that we need to cultivate. When it comes to vision, I think there are three things that we need to cultivate. Number one, we need to cultivate potential. Number two, we need to cultivate big picture. And number three, we need to cultivate short term. Potential, big picture, short term. What do I mean by potential? Well, I think when it comes to vision, we need to be able to have this mentality that says this, man, the future is so bright. I've got to put my shades on just to be able to look at it. Now, how many of you know that's a mentality? It is a mentality. A mentality that says the glass is half full rather than half empty. And I think, honestly, I think when it comes to vision, you really need to cultivate this positive outlook, this potential that God is able to do anything in my life, no matter how difficult that situation is, no matter how far gone you think that situation is, to really think about the potential that is in God for the power and the resurrection to come to that area. You got to have, listen, I think you got to have the positive outlook. And listen, for some of you, if you could just kick a little negativity out of your life, you begin to see potential and you begin to see vision. Some people say, I really don't have a vision. Well, I honestly believe that if you can just push down negativity, you know, at the rate you can push negativity down in your life will be the rate at which a vision will begin to grow in your heart for the future. Potential. Everybody say potential. Now, what about big picture? Well, big picture, and since I'm from Elvis, I had to bring some big picture Elvis glasses. When it comes to big picture, you think I could preach the rest of the message like this? When it comes to big picture, listen, here's what I mean. I want you to catch this. This is so important. When it comes to big picture in terms of your vision, so many of us get so focused on the little details. And details matter. Don't misunderstand. Small things, little things in the Word of God make a difference and matter. But if you get focused on the little things, then you could potentially think that every setback means you're further away from the vision that God has for you. But I don't know about you. I'm from Tennessee. And in Tennessee, we say there's more than one way to skin a cat. And you think about it this way, if there is a preferable future, if you have a vision, if there's something out there and you feel like God's given you a word and given you a promise about it, you know there are a million different ways that God could get you to that place. And some of us, we get so focused on this particular path or this way of doing, so that when there's a setback in that area, we think we're further away. But what you may not realize is that that little disruption or that little interruption might have positioned you even further toward whatever it is that God has for you. Let me give you a little example that just recently happened to me, recently happened to our church. We have grown so much in the last few years that we are completely, like you, we're completely out of space and completely out of room. We have four weekend services, and basically all four of them are full. Two of them are just, you know, just crazy full. You guys know what that's about. And so we have been planning to expand in that campus. About a year and a half ago, right when the economy collapsed, we set out to expand our campus, and we started working with architects and different things like that. And you know what? For whatever reason, we just could never seem to get that expansion off the ground. It never seemed to move forward to the point where I was so frustrated, because we were now at the point where people were driving onto our parking lot and just driving off because it was so full and so much craziness. And I was getting so frustrated. And about October of last year, I was just really pressing in prayer. And for two days in a row, I really felt the Holy Spirit begin to deal with me that this expansion wasn't the thing to do right now. And on the second day, it was a really intense time of prayer for me. I was just at the point of desperation. And so on the second day, I received a phone call from another church in town that had gone through some really difficult transition. And they asked if I would be willing to look at their property and perhaps purchase their property. Now, it's 35 acres of land. It's about a four-year-old building that was built on it. Beautiful building, 30,000 square foot building. And the key is, it was in the most strategic part of the city, a part of the city that we were already looking at for purchasing land. Now, to make a long story short, within a matter of literally 90 days, we signed a contract. We began to refit that campus for our, you know, personal identity. And we just opened that campus 3 weeks ago and had over 1,100 people in that campus. We were able to shift some people from the campus that was exploding and that was packed. We were able to shift some people over. And long term, we now have 35 acres of land in the most strategic part of the city. This church had already master planned this property for a 3,000 seat auditorium right on this property. We got set up. And sometimes, here's what you need to know. Sometimes what may look like a setback is really just a setup for what is ahead and for the future. That's why you got to keep the big picture in mind. All right, here's the third one. What did I say? Potential, big picture, and here's the third one. You got to have a short term. You got to have a short term outlook when it comes to vision. Now, I know some of you were rocking these on New Year's Eve. I know some of you were rocking these cool 2010 glasses. So many people focus on 5 year, 3 year, and that's all good. You know, think long term, think, you know, way out into the future. But I'm going to tell you, the most significant thing that you could do is think about the next 12 months of your life and the next 10 months of your life. There's this yearly cycle, this yearly flow to life. And right now is the most strategic time for you to think about what kind of future God has for you and to cultivate a vision for your life. Just make sure it's a short-term vision. You know what? Let's make sure that a year from now, we're further along than where we are right now. Some people are discouraged that they're not further along than they should be. But I'm going to tell you, if you look back and look what all that God has done and how God has brought you forward, then look ahead and think, what can God do in my life in the next 12 months? Vision. Vision enables me to say, I can see it. And this guy had vision. What's the second thing that he had? The second thing that this guy had, I want you to see it right here in Luke, is he had patience. He had patience. And patience enables me to say, I can wait. Patience enables me to say, I can wait. What did he do when the guy came and said, rip this tree out? Why should it use up the soil? What did he say? He said, come on, let's leave it alone for one more year. And when you think about the power of 1 year, you think about the significant things that can happen in your life in just 10 months, in 12 months. But so much of it depends on our ability to be patient. To be patient and to wait, to not get discouraged in our spirit when things are happening that we're unsure of, but to have patience and say, no, if God said it, then I'm going to wait and believe. I'm going to wait and believe. And I believe this. Listen, I believe that godly patience has a cumulative effect. And here's what I mean by that. If God has promised you something, or if there's a picture in your mind and in your heart about the future, then waiting is not a waste of time. I know some of you think, I've been waiting and waiting and waiting. I'm wasting time. I'm just going to go do it. I'm just going to go do this, or I'm just going to go do that. Don't do that. The Bible uses the word wait so many times. And there is a power when we wait on the Lord. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up on wings as eagles. Come on, they will run and not grow weary. There's a power to waiting. The problem is we don't like to wait. Come on, how many of you decide what restaurant you're going to based on how long you anticipate the wait? It's true. Who wants to wait? We don't like to wait. But there is a power that comes into our life when we are patient and when we can wait. Have a look at the book of Hebrews with me. Come on, Hebrews chapter 6, one of the greatest passages on faith and patience. Hebrews chapter 6. Come on, everybody with me today? Look at this, Hebrews 6, verse 11. We want each of you to show this same diligence. Everybody say diligence. Diligence means you work hard and you stay at it. We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end. Everybody see that? Not just the end, but to the very end. We want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. See, there's a power that hope brings into our life, and hope comes into our life when we are being diligent all the way to the very end. Some of us have a sense of hopelessness because we have checked out or we have not been diligent. Show the same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. Watch this. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Does everybody see that? See, it's not enough just to have faith. Faith will get you started. Patience will keep you going. And he said, imitate the life of those who inherited the promises. How did they inherit the promises? They had faith and patience. Faith and patience. And I want you to write this down in your notes. Godly patience is the fruit of a spirit-filled life. Godly patience is the fruit of a spirit-filled life. Don't you give up on that relationship. Don't you give up on that son or daughter. Don't you give up on that dream. Keep believing. Stay in a place of faith and add patience to your faith so that you can be diligent to the very end. Because who knows? It might just happen this year. This might just be the year. Oh, no. Let's leave it alone for one more year. And when I talk about patience, obviously in this passage, it's not referring to a sit back and relax kind of patience. He says, we don't want you to be lazy. We want you to imitate those who've been diligent and had faith. When I talk about patience, it's the kind of patience where you're reaching and you're believing and you're trusting and you're doing all you can. That's the kind of patience I'm talking about, where you're doing everything that you know to do. This guy had patience. He had patience. He said, no, let's leave it alone for one more year. But here's the third thing that he had. Third thing he had was he had commitment. And commitment enables me to say, I can change. See, vision enables me to say, I can see it, and it actually gets me going. Patience enables me to say, I can wait, and it keeps me going. Commitment enables me to say, well, maybe I need to change. Maybe there's some change that has to happen in my life, because here's what this guy said. He said, leave it alone for one more year. Then he said this, I'll dig around it and fertilize it. In other words, I'm going to introduce some change into this situation, and see if that might be just the thing to get it going. Commitment enables me to say, I can change. I can change. And I wonder, what might be some of the changes that God wants you to make in your life this year in order for some spiritual momentum begin to kick into your life? You know that definition of insanity. You've heard it. I've heard it. If you keep doing what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always had, right? So if you just keep doing the same thing, you know, maybe it's a word from God. Keep doing the same thing and eventually you'll see breakthrough. Sometimes that is true, but sometimes what you and I need to do is we need to step away from maybe what is comfortable and begin to introduce some change into an area so we can begin to see God move in that area, begin to bring some spiritual momentum. I want to close with this great verse in the book of Joshua, all the way back to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 3. Come on, commitment enables me to say, I can change. And I love this verse in Joshua. Joshua chapter 3. Let me give it to you. The context of this passage is Joshua about to take the people of God to take over Jericho and to move into the promised land. They were about to cross the Jordan. This was a pretty strategic moment in the life of the people of God, in the life of Joshua. And there's this one verse that just really stands out. It's awesome. You think about it. Joshua chapter 3, verse 5. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Now there's one verse, there's one word rather that's missing, I think, and it's inferred, and it's the word today. Just stop and think about it. I don't think it does damage to the text to introduce it. Consecrate yourselves today, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. So you almost see that there is a condition right here to this great promise. We know the Lord is capable of doing amazing things tomorrow. We know the Lord is capable of giving us an awesome 2010, that this could be the year for that one area to begin to move forward. We know that God's going to do amazing things. The question is, will we consecrate ourselves today? Will we make the decisions that we need to make today? Will we invest in our spiritual life today? Will we do the things that we need to do today? See, the word consecrate means to set apart. To set apart for future purposes. Literally, that's what something is consecrated. It's set apart for the future. It's set apart for holy, sacred purposes. When you take time to make decisions today, the right decisions today, it'll begin to push the spiritual momentum forward in your life for your tomorrow. You see, we need to do this. We need to live today with tomorrow in mind. Everybody hearing what I'm saying? Live today with tomorrow in mind. And that third thing that this guy had, we got to get it. It is commitment. Commitment enables me to say, I can change. So come on, the power of one year. This could be the year. This could be the year. What do we need to build into our lives? Number one, we need to build vision. We need to have a vision for our future. Vision enables us to say, I can see it. Number two, we need to build patience into our spirit. Patience enables me to say, I can wait. And the third thing is, we need to build that sense of commitment down on the inside, because commitment enables me to say, I can change. Do you receive that word today? Come on, let's give God a good hand clap for his word, the word of God.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Our prayer is that it will help you to live a God-first life. For more information about Celebration Church and other available resources, please visit our website at www.celebration.org.